Ches Tishri, 10th of October, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld, belonging to the club.
Very special days, Seres Yimei Teshuvah, tremendous days full of potential, so much to do, not so much time. I want to say over an interesting idea, like the name says, belonging to the Klal. I'm going to bring it out. I'm going to begin by asking three questions. I'm going to say over the Yesod, and then see its relevance to our everyday lives, and especially during these times. To begin with, a Mishnah on Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah says, and we all know this Mishnah, we've even discussed it here before, Rosh Hashanah, Kol Rosh Hashanah, Kol Olam, Oivim Lefonov Kibnei Morim. On Rosh Hashanah, every single person in the universe, everyone who was ever created, is taken before Hashem and judged, Kibnei Morim. Like the Bnei Morim. Says the Gemara, my Kibnei Morim. What do these words Kibnei Morim mean? And the Gemara gives three possible answers what it could mean. One of them the Gemara says is Kamaila space moring. One of them the Gemara says Kechayonu shall base David. And the Gemara gives a third answer as well. Whatever the answer actually means, the Gemara is telling us one idea though which everyone agrees on. The common denominator between these three answers is that we are being judged individually. The Mishnah is telling us, Rosh Hashanah over in the front of Kol Bei Olam Kibnei Morim, that we are passing by in front of Hashem Kibnei Morim, like Bnei Morim. Whatever these words Kibnei Morim mean, it's clearly evident in the Gemara that it does mean they all agree that we're being judged individually. As separate people, we're all going one by one to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's looking at us. Fair enough. The problem is that the Gemara continues on Amud Beis. And the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Bar Barchana, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, V'cholon niskorin biskira achas. Which literally means we're all glanced at in one glance. That means to say, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges us, he doesn't judge us as an individual, he looks at us as a group, all together. And the problem is, you've just told me a Mishnah. The Mishnah says we're judged Kibnei Morim. Rashi and all the Mefarshim and even the Gemara is clearly evident that what it means is that we're judged as individuals. And then the Gemara comes along on this Mishnah. He says, you should know. He quotes the Mishnah, and you should know, V'chulon niskarin b'skira achas. We're judged as one, in one big group. Make up your mind. We're judged as an individual or as a group. What are we judged as? How are we judged? That's question number one. Okay. Question number two. The Gemara says, actually we say every day, every week in Tfilas Musaf, in the Misha Beirach, after Kriyas HaTorah, one of the Misha Beirachs we say is like this. V'chol Misha Oiskim B'tzarchei Tzibur. Anyone who's Oisik B'tzarchei Tzibur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishalim Scharam. He should pay them, he should give them a reward. Then it continues and says, V'yosir Mehem Kol Machalom. He should remove any illness. The Yirpa Lechol Gufam, he should heal their bodies. And then, the Yislach Lechol Avoino. They should have a kapara of all the Averis. First, we daven for these people, for the people of Oisei B'Tzorchei Tzibur. We daven that they should have a refuah saguf, they should be better. And then we daven that they should have a kapara of Avoinos, they shouldn't have any Averis. The problem is, there's many Gemaras, and I'll quote just one, where the Gemara says clearly, that in order for a person to have a refuah saguf, for a person to be healthy, he needs to have a kaparas avinus. If a person's not well, says the Gemara, the only way for him to get better is by doing teshuvah first. If he does teshuvah, he'll get better. The Gemara says in the Dori Mem Aleph, Omer Reb Chiya Ba'Abba, Ein Hachoy Le'oimid Mechol Yoy. An ill person cannot get better, Ad Shem Moichanin Lo'y Al Kol Avinusov, until he's had a mechila on all the avirus that he's done. Shenema says in the Pasuk, Hasoileach lechol avoinechi, horoife lechol takuvechi. First you need the soileach, you need the kapara, and then you're going to get the refuah. So what are we saying every week in Musaf the other way around? In Musaf, when we give the bracha Mishaberech, we say first the person should be of a year upon a chol gufam, he should be healed, and then we say Yisach chol avoinim, he should have a kapara. The Gemara says you can't have the slicha until you've had the refuah. And you can't have the refuah until you've had the slicha. So it's the wrong way around. That's question number two. Question number three, one more question. The Gemara and Brachas. The Gemara and Brachas brings down a posuk, and we all know the posuk. Mu'uvas lo yuchal liskoim, v'chesroin lo yuchal lehimonis. Which literally translated means, mu'uvas lo yuchal liskoim. Someone has been mu'uvas, he's veered off the right path, he's twisted himself. Lo yuchal liskoim, he can't rectify himself. V'chesroin, someone who's lacking in a number, lo yuchal lehimonis, he can't be counted. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, Mu'uvas lo yuchal liskoim, that means someone who misses kriyashma in the morning or in the evening, and he remembers the next day, lo yuchal liskoim, there's nothing he can do about it. You can never get back that kriyashma that you've missed. It's too late, you missed it. Fine. The Gemara continues and says, v'chesron lo yuchal lehimonis, that means, mishachavei rov nimne nedvar mitzvah. Someone whose friends got together to do a mitzvah together, v'hu lo nimne imayim, and he wasn't amongst them, he wasn't part of them, such a person, lo yuchal lehimonis, he can't be counted with them because he wasn't there. Amazing Gemara, such an eye-opener. Gemara says, you should know, if your friends got together to do a mitzvah and you didn't do it with them, you can't be counted with them. Yeah, really, I wouldn't have figured that out myself. What's the Gemara trying to tell me? What's the Chiddush of Gemara saying? Your friends got together, you didn't get together with them, I'm sorry, you cannot be counted. Of course I can't be counted, I wasn't there, I didn't do it. What's the Chiddush of the Gemara? That's question number three. Three questions. Question number one, an outright contradiction in the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah, that first it says, Rosh Hashanah we're judged, k'bnei moroi, individuals. And then the Gemara says we're judged, b'skira achas, in one glance, as a klal. We said, make up your mind, how are we judged? Question number two, we said, that every week before Tfilas Musaf, we daven that anyone who's oisik with tzarchi tzibwa Hashem should heal their bodies. And then you should give them a kapara for that avoinus. And we said, the Gemara says clearly, it's the other way around. First you need the kapara and then you can have a refuah. And question number three, what's the Gemara and Brachas trying to tell me when it says that if you didn't do the mitzvah with your friends, you can't be counted? Obviously, if I didn't do it, I can't be counted. Okay, let's get to the yisur. In our Western world, in the Western culture, I just want to say over a small discussion taking place in the non-Jewish world, and I want to see how it gets back to us. In the Western world, by the non-Jewish people, there's a very big discussion taking place, especially in the country we live in. We're brought up, we all know, everyone has their self, their me, the person inside them, my own unique, autonomous, I'm an individual. There's the way I think, there's the way I do things, it's about me. And then the way I relate to others is another way. When I'm by myself as an individual, I have my way of thinking. And when I'm amongst other people, I relate to them in a different way. Completely different way. Here in the Western world, we're brought up, it's all about the individual, the me. Everything's about me, my aspirations, my thoughts, my worries, my aims, my problems. We base ourselves a lot in this world on the individual. How do I fit in? How do I get somewhere? Where can I get to? How can I stick out in life? It's all about the uniqueness of the individual. Fine, fair enough. But they point out, the anthropologists, the social scientists, they point out in the non-Jewish world that there's other countries in the world where the stress is not on the individual. It's not on the me. Rather, the stress is on the homogenous. For instance, they quote Japan. Japan is known that there the whole stress, the emphasis is placed on group harmony. There it's all about obedience, sympathy for others, empathy for others. How can I fit in and not stick out? There the stress is belonging to a group. That means that in some countries, depending on the culture and depending on the social situation, the stress is on the individual. It's on the me. How do I come in? How can I stick out? How can I be unique? How can I be special? It's all about the me. Obviously we have, you know, obviously the way we relate to others, of course it plays a part. But the stress, especially in our country, in America, in these places, it's on the me. Where am I? How do I come out? How do I stick out? In places like Japan, the stress is on the group harmony. How do I fit in with the others that I don't stick out? How do I feel for others? How can I make sure that we're all the same? And it's got massive, massive relevance, especially in chinuch nowadays, the way we bring up our children and the things that the values that we instill in them, it plays a very, very lot. It's got a lot of nafkaminas. Fine, fair enough. This is the deal between a discussion, more likely, between the two different countries. So the question is, what's the Jewish outlook on this? By the Eden, by Klal Yisrael. Is the stress on the me, or is the stress on being part of the group? Where do we place our stress? So there's a mission. There's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin Lamed Zayin. We all know this Mishnah. The Mishnah says some amazing words. The Mishnah says, Lefikoch, therefore you should know, Nivro Odom Yechidi. A person was created Yechidi. Most animals, when they're born, many of them in one go. Many, many of them in one go. But by humans, normally most times we're born one at a time. Says the Mishnah, you know why we're born Yechidi, why we're born as individuals? Lelamedcho, to teach us. Someone who destroys a nefesh achas b'Yisrael. And the Sforum speaker, I'm speaking about the person himself. Yeah? We're speaking the third person. Someone who destroys himself. What happens? Male olav hakosov, the Torah looks at him, kilu ibeid oilam moli. Someone who destroys himself. He doesn't fulfill the potential that he's been given in this world. It's like he's destroyed an oilam moli. The Mishnah continues, vice versa, v'chala mekayim nefesh achas b'Yisrael. Someone who does fulfill that which he was brought down in this world for, ki'ilu kayim oylem mali. It's ki'ilu, he's filled up the world, the Mishnah says. And the Mishnah carries on and it says, v'chayiv odom loyma. A person is chayiv to say, b'shvili nivra ha'olam. The world was created for me. Chazal want jokers. Every word of Chazal, mamish the people we can't fathom, mamish for us, the malochim mamish, and every word that came out of their mouth was emes la'mitoy. They weren't joking, they weren't here to give us a boost in life. Oh, we see the guy's down, let's help him out and tell him how special he is. Chazal told us, I'll be emes, chayiv odom loima. A person is mechoyiv to say, bishvili nivra ha'olam, the world was created for me. And this is emes, this is true. They're telling us, you should know this is 100% emes, the world was created for me. Chayiv Odom Loima. What are Chazal trying to do? Chazal are trying to instill within a person the recognition for two different ideas. Number one, they're trying to show us that you have so much koyach. We have so much koyach, so much potential. We can do so much. With one maisa mitzvah, with one action, with one tefillah, with Torah, whatever it is, we could be mamali and oilom. We could fill up the whole world. Like the Mitzvah Yeshurun begins, that when a person does good in life, or vice versa, chas v'chalila, a person does bad, the whole world, says the Mitzvah Yeshurun, is going to go up with him or down with him. We have it in our hands. A tremendous, tremendous strength, Chazal are telling us. But subsequently, Chazal are telling us, or simultaneously, it's a tremendous responsibility. A person has to know that the world is here, kabyochol, the world, including the universe, is here waiting for him. It's empty. It's got nothing. It's devoid of anything. And it's waiting for the person. Either he can fill it up with good, or he can take it all the way down with him. Chazal are telling us, you have a koyach, but you have a responsibility. It's up to you. And therefore, Chazal told us, Chayiv Odom Loima, a person has to constantly say to himself, Bishvili Nivra Olam, the world is here for me. That a person should constantly reiterate to himself, remind himself, the tremendous koyach he has, and the tremendous responsibility that a person has in life. Now, Reb Dessler already speaks out, he says, come on, you know, most of us, we haven't been out of London all our lives. Haven't been to any countries in the world. And even if we've been to countries in the world, we've been to space, it's so big, the universe. You're coming along and telling me that I, with my mitzvah, I take a lulav and esrog, or I daven in Yom Kippur, I'm going to fill the whole world up. Let's be very honest. It's a big world out there. It's not as small as you're making it. But Reb Dessler speaks out already, and he says, that when we say this statement, we're coming from our Mabat Gashmi, he calls it. From a Gashmiistic point of view, Lo Aleinu, if a person would take an AK-47, a submachine gun, and they would take it and they would shoot it all around them, how much damage can they already do? Lo Aleinu, they'll kill the people around them, they'll kill a neighborhood, a town, a country, but they can't have an effect on the whole universe. So for us, when we hear these words, you should know with your mitzvah you're going to affect the whole world, it sounds strange, because how much can a person do? How much damage, Lo Aleinu, can a person already do? Or how much good can he do? But says Reb Dessler, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gave us Ruchnius, he instilled within us a tremendous spiritual power. You're right, we can't see it. But Hashem can do what he wants. And Hashem gave within us this spiritual flicker, that when a person does a Maisa Mitzvah, it's within his koyach to Taka have an effect on the whole world? You're right in Gashmias, it doesn't make sense. The guy with the gun can't do too much harm. There's a limit to how much harm he can do. But in Ruchnias, a person can do anything. The world's open for him. And therefore, the Mishnah tells us, if someone doesn't fulfill the potential they've been given, they've destroyed the world because you were given the world. It's in your hands, in our hands. And Hashem's waiting for us to do it. Either we do it or we don't do it. And a person can't come along and say, brilliant, so I didn't do it, but the guy next to me, the world was created for him as well. So he'll fill it up. Because it's not going to work either. Like we know, you go to a factory and you're building the plane or the car or the phone, whatever it is. So you got the Shlomo Mazel who's putting in that tiny screw in. What's a screw? It's nothing. He says, you know what? I'll miss myself out. I'm not going to put the screw in this time. The whole phone's not going to work. The airplane's not going to switch on. Every guy's been given their tools, their potential, that they have to put in. And without their screw, their tiny screw, however small it may be, the thing's not going to work. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave everyone, says the Mishnah, their potential, their tools, their koichas. And Hashem says, I need you. I need you to be Mekayim Na'olam. If you don't, you've destroyed the world. That's what the Mishnah and Sanhedrin is telling me. So from here, part A, Yesod, Chelek Aleph of the Yesod, we're seeing the koich of the individual, the stress on the individual, the power of the individual. Fine. But there's another idea. Part two. And this is called the Koyach HaKlal. The Koyach of the Klal. 2 weeks ago, we learned Parshas Nitzavim. Well, let's start a bit earlier. Ezra Sefer in the Maseches Megillah, the Gemara tells us, he arranged all the Parshas HaTorah that we should learn them throughout the year, how they should be learned. And the Gemara tells us that Ezra made sure that Parshas Kisavoy should always be learned, should be read, before Rosh Hashanah. Why? Says the Gemara. That we should finish off the year with all the klolos in Parshas Kisavoy, and done. Now we can start a fresh new year. We're not reading Parshas Kisavoy. There's no klolos anymore. Brilliant. But Tosfos down the page in Megillah adds on, and he says that even though Parshas Nitzavim, Parshas Kisavoy is what we want to lay before Rosh Hashanah, but we also make sure that we read Parshas Nitzavim before Rosh Hashanah as well. Because we don't want to end off the year having just read all these klolos. We want to, you know, have a break with another parsha in the middle. So we're finished. We finished the klolos. We've forgotten about it. Done. Start a new year. A fresh start. Brilliant. But the Sforim bring down a bit more of a depth into it. And they explain like this. In Parshas Nitzavim specifically, the Torah tells us, Atem Nitzavim Hayoim Kulchem. Says the Medrash that when Klal Yisrael heard the klolos in Parshas Kisavoy, 98 klolos. Says the Medrash, Hayriku Paneim. Their faces turned green. They were white. They were like, we can't live. We can't manage like this. Who's perfect in life? No one's perfect. Says the Medrash that Moshe Rabbeinu got them together. And he said, Atem Nitzavim Hayoyim. Hayoyim, we all know, the Zohar explains, always refers to the Yoyim Adin, the Day of Judgment. Moshe Rabbeinu turned around to Klal Yisrael. And he said, Atem Nitzavim Hayoyim. Do you want to manage to stand? Do you want to manage to stand by the Yoyim Adin? Do you want to come out that you're still alive, that you've managed to get through it? Then you need kulchem. If you stay together, if you remain a group, if you help each other, and you do everything as a group, you're going to get through the Yoyim Adin. Moshe Rabbeinu gave over to Klal Yisrael a tremendous yesod, which is going to help us today. And he told us, if we want to get through the Yoyim Adin, if we want to come out alive, and we don't want to worry about these 98 klolos, and we don't want to worry about Einshim, Chas V'Shalom, then a person has to remember Atem Nitzavim Hayoyim Kulchem. You need the Kulchem. We need the group. We need to belong somewhere. Belong. In this week's Parsha, it's very famous for, everyone knows, B'Shem Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, he used to say, Hatzur Tomim Po'oloi. Hatzur refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tomim Po'oloi. He's perfect. Ki Chol Drach of Mishpat. What does that mean? Rabbi Yisrael Salanta used to say that when a person here does something wrong and they're taken to court, so the guy, the judge, looks at him and he examines him. He looks at the case, looks at the story, and he says, listen, according to what you've done, according to the damage you've inflicted, you're going to have to go to prison 15 years. The guy said, listen, I've got a wife, I've got kids, I have to bring panos in, I've got my health I have to worry about. Judge says, listen, I'm sorry, you've done something wrong, I have to punish you, this is the punishment. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges a person, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to give the person the punishment, he doesn't only look at the person as an individual. He takes this person and he puts him on a pedestal together with everyone who needs him in life. And he says, you deserve 15 years, but you've got a wife who needs you. You've got kids who need you. You've got this group of people out there who need your help every day. And you've got that community that you're part of, that they need you as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes everything into account when he judges. It's Hatzor Tomim, he's perfect. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes every single thing into account. If you belong somewhere, says Hashem, I have to take it into account. And I have to minimize your punishment. You might deserve much more, but I'm going to have to give you less because other people around who need you. The Altar of Kelmus, your Dua, used to put a sign up in the Beis HaTalmud every year by the Yom Noiroim, a big sign. It used to say, Rabbi Isai, if you get through the Yomim Noiroim, if you come out alive, you've got a right to say Birkas HaGoyimel. We all know when a person goes through a dangerous area, a midbar, they can say Birkas HaGoyimel. There's dangerous things, there's scorpions, snakes, there's people out to kill. And the guy came out alive. Says the Altov Kelm, someone who goes through Yomim Noiroim, and he comes out unscathed, he comes out healthy, living, everything's fine, it's no worse than going through a midbar. He's got a right to say HaGoyimel. But says the altar, who knows if we came out alive? Who knows what's going to be? But then the altar continues. And he says, there's one way to get through a midbar alive. You know how? With a shiurah. If a person goes through a midbar with a shiurah, with a caravan, with a group of people, then he's going to come out. No one's going to start with him. He's got people helping him. There's a few of them together. Says the altar, if a person goes to Yom HaNeirom and he belongs somewhere, he's part of something bigger than him, then he's going to come out alive because he's needed. Hashem says, listen, Be'etzim, you don't deserve it. You deserve punishment, but you're part of a bigger group. Let's come back to the questions, and then we'll see how it fits in. We started off with a question. We said that we have a steer in the Mishnah. We judged as kibnei morin, as individuals, or are we judged b'skira achas in one big glance as a klal? The answer is, as Sfarim already explained, that there's two judgments going on in Rosh Hashanah. On the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Hashem takes the tzaddikim, the individuals, and he says, I'm judging you. I'm going to look at you. Do you deserve, where are you holding in life? Do you deserve to get a good year or not? On the second day of Rosh Hashanah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now we're going to look at the klal. We're going to look at people not by themselves as individuals. We're going to look at them b'skira achas, as a klal. Where are you? Where are you in life? Do you deserve? Maybe you don't deserve. But being part of the klal, do other people need you in life? Do other people need you? Are you needed? If you're needed, then says the Sfarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're going to get through it. And that's the tefillah that we say in Tefillas Musaf. We say, v'yir bo l'chol gufam v'yisach l'chol avaynom. We asked the Kashmir, we said, what do you mean? The Gemara says clearly, a person cannot have a refuah for his illness unless he's had the kaparas avinus. So why in Tefillas Musaf are we saying the other way around? The answer is because in Tefillas Musaf we're speaking about someone who's oisik b'tzorchei tzibur. Someone who's oisik b'tzorchei tzibur, says the Gemara, says the Sforim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? Forget your avinus. It doesn't bother me. You're needed by the community. People need you. If you're needed, then you're just going to get straight through there. I'm going to give you the kapor. I'm going to give you the refuah, even though you may not have a kapor avinus yet, because you're needed. If you're needed in life, you can get straight through. And that's the answer for our third gasha as well. We start off in the Gemara and Brachas. The Gemara says, "Mo'ovis lo yuchal liskoin v'cheshron lo yuchal le'mamis." The Gemara says that Mishachaveir of Nimna Dvar Mitzvah, someone who his friends do a Dvar Mitzvah together, Vuhulay Nimna Emoim, and he isn't part of them, he's not going to be included. He can never count it. We said, obviously, if you want that, you're not going to do it. The answer is, he also did the Mitzvah. No one said he didn't do the Mitzvah. 10 guys got together and they did a Mitzvah. And this individual said, oh, I'm going to do the same Mitzvah as them. But he did it by himself. There's a Gemara, tremendous what you've done. You've done a Mitzvah. But you're never ever going to reach the spiritual heights which this group did when they did it together. Because when they did this mitzvah together as a klal, it's something which is worth much, much more. When a person does something as a klal, it's worth much more. Says the Gemara, you did the mitzvah, you did it as an individual. Lo yochal le'monis imoyim. You can't be counted with them. It's a massive chiddush the Gemara is telling me. Even though I did the mitzvah, I did it. But not like they did. They did it as a group. You did it as an individual. And an individual and a group, they don't come close to each other. In our community especially, the amount of things that we have, they don't work together, Ms. Askim and Atzala and Chavim, the ones that we don't know about. Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael do work together. We all make sure we're part of a group. And there's so many ways to make sure that we're part of a group as well. But I want to bring out one idea to be part of a group which not so many of us know about, which not so many of us appreciate that it's actually being part of a group, even though we do it. The Sfarim is ready, Yudua, the Gon brings it down already, the Chofetz Chaim brings it down, that someone who sits and learns Torah, even if it's just a few minutes, that's called Eisik B'Tzorchei Tzibur. The Gon speaks out that when a person is willing, is says, I'm going to give up my time to learn Torah, even though he can't see it, and it may not, Is he helping someone? He's by himself in the Beis HaMikdash. No one even sees him. He's by himself in his house. But if someone sits and learns Torah, the amount of ashpa, of shefa that he brings out into the world, that itself, says the Gaon, is called the Oisik B'tzarchei Tzibur. And for that, then Hashem says, you're a needed man. You're a very needed man. Because Torah brings out, Torah causes so much atzlocha, so much bracha into the world, that we need him. We need this guy around. I just saw recently a story about brought down from Pesach Kron. I don't normally say long stories, but it hit me, so I have to say over. He says like this. I'm gonna cut out all the details. But he says over a story that took place in the Catskills, in the mountains, in the summer holidays. There was a group of mechanchim who used to get together. They had a base of medrash. They used to learn over the summer. There was one rabbi there called Reb Plutchnik. He came in there to learn. And he sees a businessman sitting in the corner of the base of medrash, learning away, but mamish with a devotion, with all his keichas into it. And, you know, he was quite impressed. He went up to the businessman and he said, you know, I've been watching you learn the last few days. I can see you really learn with a fervor, with enthusiasm. So the guy looks up, he says, I'll be honest with you. It may look like I'm learning with such an amazing devotion, but you should know the Gemara is what's carrying me. He said that he's an ill person, a very ill person. And he said, if I would think for a minute how ill I am, I wouldn't be able to cope. But he said, I'm sitting and learning when I was young. I never had a chance to learn. But Art Squad, he said, have brought out the Art Squad Gemaras. And I've got a chance to learn now. They've opened up for me, so I want to give all my keichas into it, and I'm trying my best. So this Rebbe was very moved. I said, you know what he said? Anytime you have a problem, come and ask me. I want to help you. Fine. They got very friendly every day. They used to speak in learning. He said, it came towards the end of the camp, and he couldn't see this guy. He wasn't there. He looked all around for him, and then he saw him in the corner of the base of the medrash. He was pale. He looked dejected. His shoulders were slumped. He wasn't looking very happy. So he went out to him, he said, what's going on? Well, are you okay? He said, I'll be honest, he said, my illness is progressing, it's not going very good. And I started thinking recently, I'm watching all you guys learn, you all know how to learn, you're shouting away there, Rishonim, Sfarim, it's amazing. And I'm here with my art school, I learn 20 minutes, half an hour, I ask you all questions, but how much do I understand? How much do I actually know what's going on? When I ask you questions, I catch half of what you're saying, and who am I? What am I doing in life? This Rebbe was caught by surprise. But he was given special siyata d'shmaya, and he recalled literally a conversation he had just heard the day before on the radio. He said, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you a story. He said, Tuscanini was a famous from the orchestra. He used to a conductor of an orchestra, of a symphony. He died in 1957. He was meant to be a very famous guy. And he was known for his genius, he was known for his perfection, he was known how amazing he was. And there was a guy, a biographer, who was writing a book about him. One day the biographer calls him and says, can I come to your house, this and this time, I want to be able to speak to you. He says, listen, he said, I'm very busy tonight, not tonight. He said, why? He said, I've got a big concert going on in America somewhere, I was the conductor last year, I want to hear it again to see how they do it. So the reporter begged him to come, he said, no, come, but keep quiet, fine. So he's there, he's listening. It took an hour and a half. After it finished, the reporter turned around to conduct to Tuscanini, and he said to him, amazing, no? Tuscanini looked at him and said, amazing? No, mamish not. There was meant to be 120 musicians, and 15 of them were meant to be violinists, and there was only 14 of them there. The reporter looked at him, obnoxious, grow up, 14, 15, like you can actually tell. But he was known for his temper, so he kept quiet. He didn't want to start with him. Anyways, he said that he went home. But he called up the musical director in America, the reporter, to find out. And the guy said, he said to him, how many were there? The guy said, there was 120. There was meant to be 15 violinists, but only 14 rocked up. The reporter was amazed. He went back to Toscanini's house, and he says, I'll be honest with you, you told me that one of them was missing. I thought it was a load of rubbish. How could you know? But the maestro told me you were right. How did you know? So Toscanini looked at him and said like this. He said, you are part of an audience. You sit there and you listen to the music, enjoyable. What do you know what's going on? So I'm the conductor. I have to hear every line of music that's emanating from this orchestra. Every single thing I have to hear. So when I see that one line of music is not coming out like it should be, then I know something's gone wrong. That's how I realized. And this Rebbe turned around to the guy and he said, you know what? Between me and you, if you ask me what your Gemaras were, you're right. To me, it's worth nothing. You learn with an art school, you learn for 10 minutes, you don't know what's going on, you're 100% right. But he said to the orchestra, the one who's orchestrating the whole world, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is orchestrating the world, he's a conductor of our world. Every single line of music, every line of Torah, every line of tefillah, every mitzvah that we do, which may seem so insignificant to us, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the conductor, he needs it, and he knows every line that's coming out there. So yes, to you it may not look like something, but to the one who's conducting it, the one who's listening to every single sound of music coming out, to him it's something. The guy burst out crying, he was very moved, and he gave him a hug. The Maaseh, the story goes, he was nifter not long later, but his son told this rabbi that my father, whenever he opened this gemara from now on, he started off and he said, I'm playing now for the master of the ceremonies, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's a tremendous, tremendous masochism for us. So many of us think, what's our kodesh? What can we do in life? But there's so much we can do. We have so much talent. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting. He knows what's going on. We may not see our value, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows our value. He's waiting for us. So we've come out from this year, we've seen that as number one, the koyach of the individual, the talents that we were given that we're expected to use. And number two is the koyach of the klal, belonging to the klal that will take us through the Yom HaNeroim. Belonging to the klal doesn't have to mean that I'm in a massive group which is famous. It can mean helping my wife, my kids, anyone. Belonging to the klal means going to tefillah b'tzibah, the dominion, learning Torah like we just said. Something which may seem insignificant to us, which is so big to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone should have a tzlacha b'ezras Hashem to get through it.
So I think